Well, good morning again. And since you children are so excited about going to school, and some of you at least, school starts this week, right? So come on up, and we're going to give you a blessing and a prayer for a new, exciting year of school. Know you're going to enjoy it. Come on, if you're going to school. Things have changed a little since I went to school, and we have to lock doors and have guards and stuff. Got any teachers here, Brother Rick? Come on up here, brother. We're excited about you. Very proud of you. Want you to be real careful. Here's a new one. And be a friend to people and treat people like you'd like to be treated, you know. Sit with somebody who's sitting by themselves, and you don't have to be friends with everybody, but reach out and try to be kind and tender-hearted. Enjoy this year. Be as easy on your teachers as you can. And listen, if you didn't get the teacher of your choice, hey, that's part of it. We don't get everything we want in life. It'll prepare you for the uneven ways of life. You know, you have to learn to deal with it. Just do the best you can, and you'll be all right, okay? We love you and appreciate you, and we want you to have a safe, prosperous year. Make us proud of you, you know. Be good people. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. For these who will be beginning a new year school, we pray, first of all, for their safety. Lord, keep evil away from the doors of our schools and from these children. Give them safety, and Lord, bless them. Might they be a blessing, Lord. Bless this year. Might they learn, dear Lord, and might they be blessed by being around good people and teachers. We thank you for our teachers who labor in that field. Lord, we pray that you just bless our learning experience this year, and we could do our very best. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Be good students, okay? Make us proud of you. Thank you. We'll be reading from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 today. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24 through 34. The words of our Lord as He sat and taught the people. We call this the Sermon on the Mount. He said, among other things, he said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Remember who you are. Amen. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. Wherefore, If God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus says that we should seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and then the things of this life will come our way, the things that God wants us to have. Seek the kingdom of God. There is action required on our behalf to enter the kingdom of God. We have to do something. There is some action. We're called to action. Seek the kingdom of God. And then after we become saved and become Christians, we're also called to active duty. You know, there are no promises in this book to the lazy, to those who will not put forth an effort. Action required is our thought today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to assemble on the Lord's Day and for each one that's here. We pray your blessings upon this word, that it reach out to those who are viewing us and those who are listening and those who are here. We pray movement of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if we've not yet realized today, I pray this message would speak clear to our hearts that we must take some action if we want to go to heaven. If we want to be saved, we must actively seek the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Jesus is not saying that we should not prepare for life and to do these things. You know, you're going to school and you got plans and that's all good and all. But what he's talking about is priorities. That if we will seek the things that are most important, that is, seek the kingdom of God first, God must come first in our lives. He is not going to settle for second place or less than our very best effort. God deserves the best, and we are to seek him first, and then these other things, if you will wait patiently, will come your way. There is action required. Actively pursue the kingdom of God. It's what he teaches us here, that we can't just drift through life passively and not doing anything and expect to find ourselves in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is actually entered by forcibly. People must actively, you got to put forth an effort, you know, aggressively. You know, hey, well, I don't want to be aggressive about the you butter. The stakes demand that you aggressively seek the kingdom of God. And forcibly, you know, we used to sing an old song, like Jacob in the days of old, I would not be denied. Jacob forcibly and actively sought the blessing from the angel of God, and he wrestled with an angel and would not turn loose. He actively, and finally the angel gave him the blessing and changed his name to Israel. Jacob held on even after his hip was out of joint. You know, that's persistence, and that actively pursuing and seeking something is what Jesus is talking about here, that we must seek the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people who have not yet been saved and children especially ask the question, when am I going to be saved? And the answer has always been, you will know, you know, when the time is right. And when that time comes, we must seize the opportunity. We must take some action. It requires more than a half-hearted effort. We live in a culture today to where people think they can get by with less than their best efforts, and a lot of them do a pretty good job at it. We'll do what we have to get by. The kingdom of God, listen to me, the kingdom of God demands more than a half-hearted effort. It demands that we seek Him with all our hearts, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. A casual, half-hearted effort will not do it. That kind of pursuit will leave us short of the kingdom of God. And why should we put so much emphasis upon this? Because simply, why must I aggressively seek the kingdom of God? Why must I forcibly, you know, it's entered in forcibly? Because the stakes are so high. Because eternity is in the balance. Life and death is in the balance. Heaven and hell is in the balance. And when things are that important, that's why Jesus said our priorities need to be. This life seems like it's, to you young people, you might think a day lasts forever. But when you get to my age, you say, wow, where did the month of July go? Really, where did the last 10 years go? And this life will soon be over, and then there is eternity. And that's forever, you know. And that's what we need to focus upon, getting it right and being a part of the kingdom of God. If you think that you can just casually, half-heartedly float through life without actively pursuing the kingdom of God, that you're going to one day just wake up in heaven, I'm afraid you're going to be mistaken. The Word and the Word of Jesus and the other parts in the Gospel and the Word of God teaches us that we must actively seek the kingdom of God, that it demands our full attention. You know, that what's the most important commandment, they asked Jesus? That we should love the Lord our God with all our being, all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that God must come first. And anything that the stakes are this high in, you can't afford the casual approach. You can't afford to take this lightly. We must obey the Scripture. And that Scripture says that it requires a serious, and an active search. There is action required on your behalf. You need to know that today. Jesus said further in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7 and verse 7 and 8, He said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened. We try to teach our kids in school, don't be afraid to ask if you don't understand it. Jesus here is saying that those who take action are rewarded. Ask, and it shall. Oh, no, I don't want to trouble the Lord. I don't want to do that. Listen, that's His business to answer your prayers. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Without an effort to seek, what are the results that we're expecting to see? The woman who lost the coin, Jesus said, what she swept the house and sought diligently until she found it. You know, action was required because she valued that coin that she had lost. If we value a soul that is going to live on forever, if we value that, if we value eternal life, we're going to be motivated to take some action. It is required. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. There was a man that Jesus met at the Pool of Siloam, and that story is in the Gospels over there in John chapter 5, I believe. And there was a pool there to where it says in a certain season, not very often we would assume, but a certain time of the year, the waters would stir up, and they said an angel has come down and stirred the water, troubled the water, and it was said that the first person who got into that pool after the stirring of the water by the angel was made whole. They were healed. There were a lot of people there who had no hope. There was one poor man that Jesus focused his eyes and attention upon who was crippled, and he just asked him, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know, he's been there for years, and he said, I'm not able to do the action. Nobody will help me. There's nobody who will help me. Jesus said, but do you really want to be made whole? Rise up. And he walked. You know, it required some action on his thought process, some action, some faith there. Action is required. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you? Do I really want to be saved? Well, we say we do. I don't know that I've ever counseled anybody or witnessed anybody who didn't really express some desire to be eternally saved. I don't think I ever found anybody that said, I don't care where I spend eternity. Most people hold out a hope. Well, I hope to be someday, but what have you done to pursue those interests? What action have you taken? So, you know, if you're listening, if you're here today and you hadn't been saved, and you say, sure, I want to be saved. After all, we all want to be saved, don't we? Well, I would ask you, what action have you taken? Jesus said we should seek first the kingdom of God. Has seeking the kingdom of God been a priority in your life? Have you made an earnest, active, and have you got very aggressive? Oh, well, I want to be saved, but maybe not today. That's not aggressive, is it? That's not seeking the kingdom of God forcefully. That's not actively. That's putting it off, you know, and that's saying maybe a better time. St. Paul preached to a governor, the Roman proconsul, one time, and the man was obviously affected by the preaching of the gospel, and he was what we call under conviction because of his sins. His wickedness, when the gospel was preached to him and the power and demonstration of the Spirit, he trembled, the Bible said, but he wasn't willing to take the action required. He actually said, hey, that's enough for now. I'll call for you when I have a convenient season. And he sort of put it off. He wasn't willing to pursue the kingdom forcibly. He wasn't willing to do what it takes. And when we put it off, that says something about us, that we're not yet willing to make an active and to pursue the kingdom of God actively and to do something that we have to do. But listen, we will only do that when it becomes apparent to us that just exactly how high the stakes are. Are you willing? Are you willing to put it off when the stakes are this high? When eternity is in the balance and we're still not yet willing to ask Well, I'm too embarrassed. Hey, when the stake of eternity and your soul is at stake here, you better speak up. This is not time to be shy. This is time to ask. This is time to seek. You know, when the Spirit reveals unto us that we need to be saved, that we're lost, it is time to ask. It is time to seek. It is time to knock. It is time for us to take action and call upon the Lord and be saved. And Jesus said, action is required. What must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord. You'll be saved and your house. You know, when the Spirit is dealing and the time is right, we just have to come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. You got to confess Him. Bow before the Lord. In the Gospel of St. Luke, Jesus was asked about John the Baptist. In Luke 16 and 16, He says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. You know, it's a forcibly, it must be entered forcibly. There is action required on our behalf. We have something we have to do. We don't just wait. We don't just wait. You know, we have some things to do. We must repent and believe the gospel. We must press into the kingdom of God, make an earnest and active and aggressive search. You know, it's when we're convinced that this is my life at stake here. You know, I've got to pursue this. And some say, well, I don't want to go publicly. You know, maybe it'll be an easier time some other time. I'll remind you that our Lord called people publicly. It's a small price to pay when you're talking about eternity, when we're among friends. Why would we allow, maybe I don't want to be embarrassed, I'm shy, and all these things. We've all have been that way, but I'm going to tell you, when the burden gets heavy enough, when we realize exactly what the stakes are, we'll be willing to take that action that is required. You know, it won't matter. It won't matter to us. We'll do what is required. What must I do? The Philippian jailer was willing to do anything. What must I do? We will get to that point. We're ready to take action. We're ready to do it. The stakes are way too high to ignore it. There's a story at the crucifixion of Jesus. He was condemned by the Sanhedrin court, which is made up by approximately 70 members of the hierarchy of the Jewish faith. Most of them Sadducees, some Pharisees. We're told that probably all but two of them voted to give Jesus the death penalty. We believe there were two members of that Sanhedrin court, Nicodemus and Joseph, who didn't vote to give him the death penalty. One of them is Nicodemus, who called for Jesus by night, went to see him and asked him some questions, who was ashamed to go in the daylight because of his position. There is Joseph here, of Arimathea, an honorable. It says he is an honorable, and he is a counselor, sits on the Sanhedrin. He was sincere, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. And the Bible says in one of the Gospels that they were basically both disciples of Jesus, but secretly, because they feared the Jews. They were what? Intimidated. They were intimidated, and that's a real social problem, and it's a real pressure for us to feel intimidated among people. We're a little embarrassed. We don't want to. Sometimes we know we ought to do things, we don't do them, but we're intimidated. We believe that these two men gave their vote against the death penalty of Jesus, but of course they didn't prevail. We don't know how much of a fight they put up. One of the Gospels says that Nicodemus made the argument, you know, that we shouldn't condemn a man and all this. But anyhow, the fact is we don't know a great deal about their actions in the court of law, we call it, that gave Jesus the death penalty. Maybe they done what they could. We don't know too much about it. But in the end, Jesus was given the death penalty, and in the end, the Roman governor yielded to the Sanhedrin and the Jewish people's desires, and he ordered the execution of Jesus, which would be death by the cross, which Jesus had prophesied and foretold, that he would be crucified and rise again the third day. Jesus is crucified on Good Friday, and Saturday is the Sabbath, and it was not fitting to lay the bodies on the cross for the Sabbath. The Sabbath day would have started, sundown, 6 o'clock. Jesus being on the cross, one of these men, and we read in the Gospel of Mark, and I want you to see that he has a change of heart. Here is a man who has been intimidated for a long time. He knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that something was real about Jesus. And he saw the kingdom of God in Jesus. By the way, in the presence of Jesus Christ as he walked this earth was the presence of the kingdom of God. You saw him, you saw the kingdom of God. I believe these two men saw a little bit of that, but they were intimidated. But after the crucifixion, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 42, the Bible says, "And now when the even was come," because it was preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath. You know what that is? There's certain things they start that evening. There is a 7-day Advent restaurant, there was in Huntington. Me and my wife used to eat there. It's all vegetarian. And we were in there one Friday, and one of the children said something about, you know, we close early today. It's preparation. They worship on the Sabbath. It's preparation. There's certain things you can't do after the preparation. One of them is you can't tend to the bodies of the dead. You can't take them down. You can't bury them. Can't do these things. But the Bible says here it was a preparation the day before the Sabbath, Friday evening, getting close to the cutoff time. And it says Joseph of Arimathea, one of these counselors, who we believe did not give his vote to kill Jesus. It says he's an honorable, the gospel here calls him an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in. Now here's the part I want you to hear. Came and went in boldly unto Pilate and crave the body of Jesus. That means that this man made a decision that I can't be passive about this. I can't hum-haw around this. I can't be casually about this. This is a matter that demands action. Action was required by Joseph and Nicodemus. One of the Bibles says, you know, that they let it be known, you know, hey, we don't care what these other people are going to say about us. This is time for us to take action. there is time for us to take action. And that is when the Spirit of God reveals unto us that action is required. And that's what it means. Something must be done. It says, he came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. He was not ashamed. He didn't care how many people knew. He didn't care how many people said something about him. But he's making a bold statement here. He craved the body. Pilate marveled if he'd been already dead and called to him the centurion and asked him whether or not he'd been dead for a while. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in linen, laid him in a sepulcher where was hewn out of rock and rolled the stone upon the door of the sepulcher. Came boldly and craved the body of Jesus. Action was required for him. He had been silent too long. He had waited too long. And it was time for action. Perhaps you've waited and waited and waited. I heard an old black minister preach a long time ago on a tape. And he said, he was talking about people waiting and waiting and waiting. And he said, you're going to wait, wait, wait right on into hell. So, for us to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said you must seek it earnestly, aggressively, forcibly, actively, sincerely. It must become a priority. Matter of fact, it must come first in our life. That means that we don't worry about what people might think or say about us. We don't worry about that because we're seeking the kingdom that supersedes our fears, us being bashful, us being afraid. All of these things, action is required. Joseph is no longer afraid of the other Jews. He's no longer afraid of being kicked out of the Sanhedrin and losing his position. Those things become secondary. We have to make a decision. And that is, I want Christ above everything else. I want Him. I will put Him first in my life. And trust Him, and then these other things that God thinks I need will come my way. There'll be time for those things. So, to enter the kingdom of God requires action. I think we understand that. And then there is that after we get saved, somehow we sort of lose our will to be active. To be active and to serve the Lord. The book of Hebrews talks about people who, and these people have been saved, but maybe they had sort of lost their will to pray, to seek God's throne, and somehow just got lazy and quit that. The book of Hebrews is talking about Christian people here who are not taking action. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. These are people who are second generation Jews who are contemplating giving up Christianity and going back to Judaism. The writer of Hebrews says, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Some of them had quit going to church. Read chapter 10. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of His grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help and grace and help in time of need. Let us come boldly. That doesn't mean that we would come arrogantly. It's telling God's people, don't be bashful to call upon your Father in heaven, who it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Come boldly. Don't hesitate. Well, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that, you know, people, when they quit church, there's this thing, they don't want to go back because, I'm ashamed I've quit going. I feel like I'll stick out. Come boldly, even still, you see. People quit their prayer life and their spiritual growth and all. We get behind and, hey, you know, I'm almost feel ashamed to call upon the Lord. The writer says, hey, even that's even the more reason to come boldly. Not with pride or arrogantly, but boldly. Don't hesitate to ask a God who was at all points tempted like unto we, yet without sins, who feels our very pain, or who understands. Sometimes we say, nobody knows. You know, the Lord knows and can identify with our suffering. So goodness gracious, don't be bashful. Don't be bashful. We used to, back in the day, revivals. You know, you had revivals, but first of all, revivals was for the church to be revived and people to be renewed in the faith. And there was a term, it was called backsliders. You don't hear much of that anymore. Backsliders. It's a time to come and be renewed in the faith. And the byproduct of revival is that other people get saved. But revival is the reviving of that which is in decay or dying in God's people. That's what revival is. We get revived. And the byproduct of that is that people will be saved. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, unto God's throne, and find grace and help in time of need. Goodness gracious. Struggling in our Christian walk and faith, we know we need to do better, but yet we go on without asking Him. And the Bible here is saying, goodness, this is not a time to be bashful. Come back to the Lord. Get right with Him. Don't be ashamed to ask the Lord that has already saved you to forgive you of going astray. That's what it's saying. Come and come boldly and come now. You know, don't wait and put it off. Action is also required for the Christian. You know, we get saved and though I'm good and now I can float and drift on into the kingdom one of these days, I don't have to do nothing. It's true. You're saved by God's grace, but we're saved to produce work. We're saved to work. You know, we're now in God's army. Action required. Jude said that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Are we earnestly contending for the faith this day? One could question the church world today as to whether or not we are earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There is action required on both fronts here. If we want to ever see the kingdom of God, there's action required. There is action required. It must be entered. The kingdom must be entered forcibly. Forcibly. People must aggressively and actively seek the kingdom of God. We must knock. And that means be like Jacob. You know, don't turn loose. Jacob would not surrender. He would not give up his hold on the angel until he blessed him. And a half-hearted pursuit, a casual pursuit, will not find your way to the kingdom of God. The stakes demand a real pursuit of the kingdom of God. Christians, the stakes require that we be on active duty. Some of us have been on the inactive roster too long. Too long. This is a time for all hands on deck. These are times that require that we be all on active duty. So if you've been on inactive duty due to your own failings, hey, we can come up with a lot of excuses. And I've heard them all. And I've made some too, by the way. But there is no excuse. If we're saved, we're called to active duty. We're told that we should earnestly contend. That means that we should actively contend for the faith. Stand for the faith today. Are we doing that? If you're here today and you have not been saved, or if you're listening to me, wherever you are, it's going to require an active effort on your behalf. You're going to have to do something. Jesus done the work that saved you, but you're going to have to knock. You're going to have to ask. You're going to have to seek. And you're going to have to do it earnestly. In closing, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30, listen to this. As this is one of the greatest invitations in the Bible, in the Gospel, Jesus makes this great invitation to all people. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You hear these words? Come unto me. That takes action. That's something. I got to get up. Got to come. There's action for you to take. Come unto me. And then he says, take my yoke. Take my yoke. Enter the kingdom forcefully. You got some action. Learn of me. That's something for you to do. You don't know the Lord, come and learn of Him today. Action required on your behalf to be saved. Action demanded on your part if you are saved. Brother Gary, would you come? We're going to have a song of invitation. We're going to stand and issue an invitation and have a time of commitment here today. If you're here today and you've been on active duty too long and you know it, hey, it says come boldly. Come boldly. Don't be bashful. Come boldly to God's throne, where you'll find help and support. If you've never been saved, you've been waiting. What are you waiting on? There's action required. You got something to do. You got to pursue the kingdom of God. It'll be entered forcefully. You'll have to do something. You'll have to actively seek the kingdom. And I'm going to ask you to come to do that publicly today. Christ called people publicly. Been too bashful before. Be like Joseph. Put that aside. It don't matter. I got to get this done today. So come boldly. Let us stand together this morning. Brother Gary.